Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on His Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, His name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. Here in America, He's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This program is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Ford Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Timotheus, for that gracious welcome and for these headphones.
You are very welcome, brother. You are very welcome.
I left the house this morning without mine, and Timotheus, always on the ball. Always ready.
Well, you know.
Came up with a second pair.
A great man told me one time, man ready?
Don't have to get ready.
There you go.
I've heard that.
I've tried to take that advice.
I have heard that many times. Well, we're here to hopefully give some advice that'll help people spiritually.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what it's here for. And if you have a question maybe about the Bible or something you've wrestled with, or maybe you've never ever been to a church, maybe this thing called Christianity is new to you. Now, a lot of people in Eastern Kentucky would say, what? But it's true. There may be people that know nothing about it, but they're curious and you have a question. That's what this program is about. So you can call us up at 789-0318. 789-0318. You don't have to give your name or any information. Just ask your question, and we'll do our best to try to get an answer for you. If it's easier for you, you can email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com. godspointofview@yahoo.com. You can check us out on our Facebook page. There we go. It's a live stream, and you can do that at God's Point of View on Facebook, or you can talk to the great Scott by text, or maybe after the show program, you can give him a call at 606-367-0137. Did I get all that right?
Perfect. Just absolutely perfect.
And I'm hearing something in the background. What am I hearing in the background?
Probably my volume control, trying to handle all of my many cellular devices.
You have got a bunch, brother.
I've got a bunch. I sure do. I ran across a little poem that I thought would be appropriate for this morning. We have a question that has really puzzled the ages this morning.
Ooh.
And I know I've been asked it many, many times over the years. You know, you don't preach for 44 years and not hear a little bit or see a little bit of everything.
Everything.
And so this has been one of the questions that has broken more hearts and caused more people to question God, I suppose, than any other. But let me preface it with a poem I wrote down in my Bible. I'm not sure how long ago it was, but it's a poem that I have on one of the white pages.
Mm.
Now, you know what I mean by white page, Timotheus. You know, if you open your Bible, you've got four or five white pages mm-hmm. right in the front.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running out of white pages.
After 40 years, I would think so.
Yeah, but on one of my white pages, just before the book of Job.
Oh, okay.
On the other page of Job, which is at the concluding chapter of Esther.
Is there any particular reason you wrote it there?
I think probably because Job asks this question.
Oh, okay.
More than any other book in the Bible.
Okay.
The poem is entitled, He Maketh No Mistake. It goes like this. My father's way may twist and turn, and my heart may throb and ache. But in my soul, I'm glad to know He maketh no mistake.
Amen.
My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still, I'll trust my Lord to lead, for He doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him, for he maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see, my heart's a sight far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by, the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake. If we could only believe that, and really trust and live it every day of our lives. I received a question recently about the loss of a loved one. I'm going to paraphrase it, but I think I'll get most of it right. Someone lost a loved one years ago. Young husband, young father, killed in an accident. A man that was a good man, a Christian man. And the question from the survivor, surviving spouse, is why? Why would God allow that? Why would God take someone in the prime of their life? Why would God take such a good husband, a good father, a good brother, a good influence in this world? Why would God do that? And I guess I've heard that question, been asked that question over the years. Many years ago, I did a funeral for a little girl, some 8 or 9 years of age. She'd been a sickly child most of her life. I couldn't count the number of times I was in the hospital, far and near, with that family, a family of faith, especially the mother, great faith. And she knew the little girl couldn't live long, and the little girl, sure enough, died. And the first night of the visitation at the funeral home, the mother came to me crying and asking me why. And then she said, there couldn't be a God in heaven to let this happen.
Oh.
Well, you know, I didn't respond.
Yeah.
I just held her.
Yeah.
I just wrapped my arms around her and held her, and she cried. And sometimes that's what we pastors need to learn to do. We don't have to preach a sermon every time. As a matter of fact, we shouldn't preach a sermon every time. There are times just to show up and shut up. That's what I like to call it. Just show up. Just be there. And several weeks later, after she had had a chance to digest it all, you know, and come to terms with it, or at least trying to come to terms with it. I don't think people ever truly come to terms with that, especially a child. But she came to me and she said, you know, Jerry, I didn't mean that. I was just all upset. I said, I knew you were.
Yeah.
And so this person has asked, why would this happen? I've done many funerals over the years, and I remember one in particular. The fellow was a middle-aged man, and one day he seemed perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day he's gone. And people will, you know, at the visitation, they'll say, well, I just saw him last week.
Yep.
I was over at Walmart with him, or I waved at him going by in the car. And this is naturally, his family and friends are all shocked and grief-stricken. Well, it was this way for this young man that I was asked about. People just don't understand why. I thought of a verse in 1 Samuel 20. There is but a step between me and death. Verse 3 of 1 Samuel 20. And then James said, the Lord's brother said, why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow.
Amen.
What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. James 4 and 14. Let me say that there is no satisfactory answer to this question. There's no way that anyone, preacher or counselor, elder, whatever, there's no way any pastor can answer this question to the satisfaction of every individual. Because there's something in the heart of every human being that longs to have the question answered, and the question is why? Why? I used to think a verse of Scripture, that'll do it. No, it won't. At least not right then.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Yeah.
And so what I want to try to do today, Timotheus, is simply to direct people to the source, not the why, but the who. And especially this message that I received about this young person that died. And I thought of how best to illustrate it. I remember a story I used years ago about a fisherman sitting on the bank of the Ohio River. And he was hoping to catch some fish, of course. That's why he was there. Young boy he'd never seen before came strolling up the way. And little boy, he's 9 or 10 years old, began shouting and waving his arms frantically at a tugboat that was out on the Ohio, just chugging up the river. The old fisherman smiled and at the boy, thinking to himself how naive he is. And then he said, "Son, you're wasting your breath trying to get the attention of that boat. The captain has important business. He's not going to stop for you." But the little boy ignored the stranger's words, and he kept waving and hollering for the tugboat to stop. Strange thing happened to Timotheus. That powerful tugboat started coming closer and closer until finally it stopped, and the little boy waded out in the water, jumped aboard. As the boat steamed away, the little boy, to quite the surprise of the fisherman, hollered back and said, "Mister, my father is the captain of this boat, and he's just taken me to our home on the other side of the river." When we lose a loved one in death, this is the way God wants us to view it, especially a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
This is why it's so important that we evangelize our families first. It's what Jesus told the woman at the well, "Go home. Go home." And the man that had the demonic spirit in him, he said, "Go home." We start at home. But it's so important that everybody hear and everybody have an opportunity. You see, it's appointed unto men once to die. We can't avoid that. And this young man that died, it's tragic. It's sad. It's all kinds of words that we could use to express our sorrow and our grief. But there are no words to take the pain away.
No.
Except the words that we find in Scripture that give us hope for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Think of Job. Job 13:15. Job says, "Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him." Who else are we going to hope in? What else are we going to anchor to if it's not in the words of the blessed word of eternal truth? Job said, "Though he slay me, I will serve him." Job said, "I'll trust him even though I die." Job lost everything that was important to him. And yet Job said, "Though he slay me, though he take my life, I will trust him." And so you and I, all of us, as people trying to serve the Lord, and for those listening who are not Christians, you need desperately to hear this today. The only hope that you have, or I have, or the querist who asked about this specific question, the only hope any of us have is the thought of being reunited with our loved ones when this life is over.
Amen.
It's the only hope that we have. There's a poem that was written some time ago, many years ago, by an evangelist by the name of G.K. Chesterton. And I thought it very appropriate here. It's entitled "The Convert." And he says this: "The sages have 100 maps to give that trace their crawling cosmos like a tree. They rattle reason out through many a sieve that stores the sand and lets the gold go free. And all these things are less than dust to me, because my name is Lazarus, and I live."
Mm-hmm.
Lazarus. My name is Lazarus. every child of God needs to think of their lives, especially in times of loss, in terms of my name is Lazarus, I will live again. Going back to Job, Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, Job 19:25. And at the end, without my flesh, after the skin worms have devoured my body, I shall see God. It's a heartbreaking thing to live with, I'm sure. And sometimes we need help. We need help with our feelings. Depression can set in. And depression, of course, can be caused by many things. There could be a chemical imbalance because of a loss of a loved one, a chemical imbalance in our brain, and we need some help with it. And we just, at times when we just feel like everything is lost, there's no hope at all anywhere, we may need some professional help. We may need a physician's help. But by all means, we need the help of our church. We need wise counsel. And I would suggest to this sister that she seek that. Go to her pastor. Talk with him. It may take several sessions. It may take several appointments. But seek out the help that God provides through His Word, through wise counsel. I'm sure He'll be, if you'll do that, sister, I'm sure He'll be happy to talk with you about it. This is why it's important for every person to have a local church that they can go to. Now, there's all kinds of counseling to mow this. There's secular counseling, but sometimes secular counseling is not what Christians need. We need biblical counseling, counseling that helps us understand not only our past.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you something else I've experienced over the years is when we lose someone, especially suddenly, and maybe we haven't had time to make amends, we can end up with a guilt and a depression from that that's hard to deal with. And the Bible tells us that God can take away the guilt. God is our hope for the past, the present, and the future. And that doesn't come from secular sources. That comes from biblical sources. So, in closing, I would suggest to the sister that she focus on the Word of God. By the way, sister, and all of us today, Jesus had periods of doubt. Jesus prayed in the garden, if there's been any other way that we can do this, let's do it. Short of my being separated from you, let's do it. Not my will, he said, but thine be done. And then you remember Timotheus on the cross, Jesus called out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yeah.
So sin has caused all of this pain, all of this suffering. God is our only refuge and a source of help in time of trouble. Seek Him out. It's not because things happen that we can't explain, and someone might chirp up and say, "Well, that's because of this or because of that." You just don't know. None of us know. Even the Bible says, "Perhaps." John said, "Perhaps," speaking of Onesimus. Maybe he left for a season so that he'll be yours forever, perhaps. So the only certainty that we have, and I see we have a call coming, the only certainty that we have is that we have a good God, and God is going to raise every single one of us, and our home is going to be just across the waters. As the little boy said, my home is just over there. My daddy's taking me there. So let's get the call and see what's on this person's mind.
Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Let me turn this radio down.
That would help us.
Good morning, brother.
Good morning, brother. I was just thinking about Martha when she ran to him and said, I know my brother will live again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life.
Amen.
He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Amen.
And I was just wanting to throw that in. I mean, I know you all
I'm glad you
understand
did.
What the Lord said there. He is the resurrection and the life if we only believe.
Yes, yes. He didn't say you'll be resurrected one day. He didn't say someday we'll all be. He said, I am resurrection.
Yes.
Every hope we have is in him, isn't it?
That's the only hope we have in this world is in Jesus
Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you for that, brother.
And I thank you all for the show.
Thank you, brother.
You all have a great day
thank
in
you.
The Lord.
You
as well.
Have a blessed day, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's well, he's right.
He is right.
Yeah. The only hope that any of us have. That I believe that's a song, isn't it? My only hope is Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
It's a good song, good thought. So if you have a thought, just like the brother that called, we encourage you to call. I said at the outset of this question, I won't answer the question to everybody's satisfaction. You can't.
No.
You can't.
No.
Nobody can. It takes, sometimes I've counseled people for literally months, and sometimes longer than that, sometimes years, in dealing with the loss of a loved one like this.
Yeah.
And,
it's a great pain.
It's a great pain.
Yeah.
Somebody said time is the great healer. Well, not always does time remove it completely, but in time, truly, there is a healing that can help you cope. You know, if we had to try to live in the grief that we experience at the point of a loved one's death or during the funeral, if we had to live with that, we couldn't live. We couldn't live with
it. No.
I've had several people, and I've experienced this myself. Lost a brother years ago, just suddenly dropped dead. And you're almost in a fog. It just doesn't seem real.
Yeah.
If you have a loved one, and they maybe are dying of cancer or some disease, and they've been in the hospital, and then maybe the nursing home, and it's been a long, drawn-out thing, you don't miss them any less. But you kind of have some time to prepare a little better, if there is such a thing.
Yeah.
Folks, there's just so much we don't know. But we're hoping and praying and believe that the one that does know is going to make all things right. And that'll take place in the resurrection. Dear sister, you're never going to be whole completely until the resurrection.
Amen.
That's the bottom line.
And you were talking earlier, Jerry, about people coming to you like the lady come and had lost her daughter.
Yes.
In those times, I think we're just in shock and we say things. And then I wonder if people don't have some guilt later because they know they didn't mean what they said. They feel like maybe like they've let God down or
sure.
God's thought, you know, well, you've just, you know, turned me away.
Yeah.
I believe that God understands. When my children were small and when my grandchildren, they'll say things they don't mean.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think anything about that. And I think the Lord understands as well the pain that we're going through because Jesus wept when Lazarus died.
He did.
So he experienced that pain too. He knows what that's like.
Sure he does. The great thing about the great thing about God is that God takes care of every part of our existence.
Mm-hmm.
Said earlier, he takes care of the past, the present, and the future. Yes, we feel guilt over not having a stronger faith at certain points in our life.
Yeah.
But look at Peter.
Absolutely.
Peter was going to walk out on the water, and I believe he did a pretty good job to start with.
Mm-hmm.
But he took his eye off Jesus.
Yeah.
Sometimes our grief can cause us to do that.
Well, let me ask you a question real
quick.
And
we need to be guided back.
If you were with a man that enabled you to walk on water, I've already thought about this many times. That is a miracle that you're walking on water.
Yes.
But yet later, when they took Jesus to crucify him, Peter denied him three times.
Yes.
Now, this is the same man that enabled him to walk on water.
Absolutely.
So what makes us think that our faith is greater than his was?
But it can't be. It can't be. It can't be greater to perfection. Of course, it can be greater. We can grow in faith, but Peter saw him.
Yeah.
Peter felt him. Yeah. Peter ate with him. It just goes to show you that we all are fickle. Yeah. One moment we're strong on the mountain. Next moment we're in the valley.
We're in the valley.
So this flesh we have causes that to occur in our lives. You remember when David sinned with Bathsheba,
mm-hmm.
when he prayed, he said, against you.
And only you.
Against God, yes. You only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. God has promised to forgive our past sins.
Yeah.
1 John 1:9, if we will confess our sins, God promises to forgive them. And then Psalm 103 tells us that he'll, as far as the east is from the west, God will remove our sins from us, cast them in the deepest sea, Micah 7:19, and remember them no more, Hebrews 8:12. Scripture gives us hope. Scripture reinforces that deep inside need that every person has for relationship with God. These are the very words of God.
Amen.
And that's who we need to turn to when we lose a loved one. God will forgive those feelings of, well, I should have trusted him more. I'm sorry I said it that way. Please forgive me, God. God's promised that he will.
Yeah.
What a lot of folks do is we keep going back to him and asking for the same forgiveness for the same sin.
Over and over and over.
He doesn't remember it.
That's our guilt.
That's ours.
Yeah.
So quit asking God to do something. Be like a parent, you know. The child says, please forgive me, but he keeps coming back to you.
Yeah.
Story's too long to tell, but I remember, and some of our folks listening will remember the story that Joe Beam, who was in a revival with us here many, many years ago. If you're old enough to remember when Joe Beam was with us, you're old. This was back in the 80s at Highland when we were up at Hager Hill. And Joe told a story about the dogs. Them dogs.
Yeah.
And the essence of the story is, Dad was going to be out of town and wanted his boy to feed the dogs. And he forgot to feed them. Went out fishing with his buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning, Dad had to punish him. And the next day, then the boy was crying. He said, what's the matter? He said, them dogs, Dad, them dogs. And this went on for 3 or 4 weeks. Every time the dad turned around, the boy was crying over the dogs. Listen, friend, quit crying over them dogs.
Yeah.
If God has forgiven you, the dad told him, he said, son, I've forgiven you. We're good. Let's move forward. But the boy couldn't forgive himself.
Mm. Another thing that comes to mind, and I would never try to take away the pain that people feel from a loss. I have as well. As a matter of fact, my aunt just passed away Tuesday. She lives in Indiana, and it's a loss,
yeah.
That, and it's never replaced. But when people say that every day is a gift, if we can in somehow, some way look at it, that the Lord blesses us each day, we don't have a promise of tomorrow.
We do.
We're
not
owed life.
No.
And life can be taken at the heartbeat. We're a heartbeat. One step, we're one heartbeat away. So. For me, it helps me to look and be more thankful and make the most of that day, the most of the time that the Lord has granted me.
Amen. I agree wholeheartedly. My name is Lazarus. That's our hope right there.
Amen.
The resurrection from the dead. 7890318. We got a couple minutes.
If somebody wants to give us a quick call real fast.
And you can text us at 367-0137. Had a lot of people listening today. Phyllis Tackett, Myrna Mahan, Sharon Adams, Jim and Teresa O'Brien, Tootie is watching today, Geraldine Spence, Ray Sayer, Jessica, Phyllis Daniel, just a lot of people. Linda Weddington. We appreciate all of our listeners, all of the folks that's watching on the web.
Mm-hmm.
On Facebook. Mm-hmm. And we have one call here to both of us. Let's
take get it real quick here. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
I am one of the people that's old enough to remember Joe Beam being at Highland.
You're too old. I don't know how you even... You're so old. How are you, brother?
I am good, thank you. And you guys are doing a wonderful job.
Thank you.
little comment in defense of Peter when he denied the Lord after he had actually walked on the water. You know, for a good long while, Jesus had been in Peter's life. But until that rooster crowed and Jesus looked him in the eye, I believe that's when Jesus came into his heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see you're right.
Just a little comment or two, and thank you guys for the program. I listen to it every chance I get.
Thank you.
Well, God bless you for that, brother. We appreciate you calling. Take care of yourself.
That's Janie's job.
And you are old enough to remember when Joe Beam was there.
I do remember,
yeah.
Joe.
You remember that story about the dogs?
I do. I remember that, yeah.
How many times have we been like that little boy?
Oh, my. Yep.
Bless you, brother. You take care.
We're just people stumbling through this life.
Say hello to your beloved for us.
I will do that. Thank you much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Well, there we go. That's going to do it for another edition of...
Time's come and gone.
Come and gone. It goes by fast. That's going to do it for another edition of God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue. We'd like to invite you to services at the church. Sunday school gets underway 9:30 a.m., Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening life groups at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. And thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.